Do you struggle to feel the presence of God with you throughout stressful days? Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker shows you how to bring prayer into your daily routine through simple movements and mindful rhythms that draw your heart and mind back to God anytime, anywhere. Get your copy now wherever you buy books.
All right, settle down. If I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's time to hammer them on a Tuesday on the show. I'm going to be here all day, and so's Barry and Nick. So get your $97.50 on the table, and let's do business. Bam!
I was definitely not expecting that.
I just figured people needed a little bit of a wake-up call on a Tuesday, and I'm here to supply what y'all need. So there you have it.
I definitely needed that.
There you go.
That was well done, my friend. I wasn't expecting that at all.
I'm not expecting a sponsorship now from those guys, but I'm having fun doing it.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
What's up, fellas? It's a little bit outside, rainy and ugly, but good in here, so let's do this.
It is ugly outside, but that's okay. The lawn needed this, so I'm not upset. It's
supposed to get uglier. Based on all the radar I've seen, that this storm coming out of the Gulf, not that it's not going to be hurricane-like, but it's going to bring a lot of precipitation.
Extreme rainfall and flash flooding possible. It's a tropical depression, and aren't we all tropically depressed? Well, just a little bit?
It depends on what you're talking
Explain.
About. Yeah.
I don't know what that meant. Guys, come on. I'm just saying words here.
Optimistic about the Rockets.
I'm just saying words here.
Pessimistic about the Texans yet? That could be a tropical depression.
I look at the schedule, and I think maybe this team is better than 6-10.
Well...
I'm not pessimistic. I'm more optimistic now.
I agree, because we can talk about the
timeout
future and the fact that that might be a little bit out of whack now. But the fact that they got better with the moves that they've made to get to this point, and you know what? A win's a win. You got the W, regardless of how ugly it was against Jacksonville, but you're 1-1. You really played well against the Saints, and there's enough to give you hope that as the new guys get more comfortable and acclimated to the system and comfortable with the playbook, that you're going to improve. The division is obviously yours for the taking, and you're going to be right in the mix there. You just got to take care of your business. So you got time, and hopefully they figure it out. And I say you got time, but it depends on how you manage your time.
That's a sore subject. But I mean, look, they've got their next two games are against the Chargers and the Panthers. And at the beginning of the year, before it started, those teams were scary. I'm not so scared of the Chargers and Panthers anymore. Panthers 0-2, Chargers are 1-1. Their one win was against the Colts.
You're catching them both at the right time.
Exactly. You're getting them possible. Early. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a Chargers team that just lost to the Lions.
That's ridiculous. You don't have Melvin Gordon. You obviously don't have you have issues.
Yeah.
Essentially, because of the fact that your offense is somewhat sputtering. And like you said, you lost to a bad team, though you were on the road in Detroit. And then you're catching a Carolina team that, you know, Cam Newton didn't practice today. They said he re-injured the foot. That team seems like it's in complete disarray right now. So you might be catching them at the right time, too.
Now, it is on the road against the Chargers, but you're home against the Panthers. So what we thought might have been a 1-4 start could end up being as good as 3-1 and probably 2-2, and I'll take that.
No doubt about it. Based on how we looked at the schedule when it first came out and then right before the season started, they've got a chance here to, you know, keep this thing going positively in the right direction. All kidding aside about Bill O'Brien and the managing of time and, you know, the assets and all the other things, look, you've got a good team on the field that's only going to get better as these guys get more comfortable in their new surroundings.
Yeah. I was looking at the schedule last night, and because that's what I do. I just sit down and look at schedules because, you know, I'm a loser. But
you got the last part right. I don't know about the fact. You crunch numbers, too.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, that Ravens game, it's on the road in Baltimore. But that might be the most fun game that Texans fans get to watch all year just based on their team and the schedule, because it's Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson. They both look like they're quarterbacks on the rise, you know, skyrocketing towards being really good. I'm not going to say elite, but that next level down. And they're not there yet, but they're very close, I think. Well, Deshaun Watson is, and I think Lamar Jackson is proving he could be if he keeps this up. So that might be the most fun. I don't know, win or lose, but that might be the most fun game to watch just because of the two quarterbacks involved.
I mean, you hope so. You hope it plays out like the New Orleans game did and not the Jacksonville game did, and that both offenses have a chance to spread it out and move the football. You look at it from a running back perspective, and dare I say at the start of the year after Lamar Miller went down, you didn't know that the Texans were even going to have a running game. But right now, based on the fact that Mark Ingram has not been anything near considered a threat, and the way the Texans are running the football, they have the advantage there as well. So hopefully that's a game that they can do well in, because Baltimore, as we said, hasn't really played anybody, but no, they've looked really good beating the heck out of bad teams.
Yeah, so that could be fun. The only other one, I worry that it may not be fun because it might be a blowout and not in the favor of the Texans, is that Chiefs game. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson playing, that could be fun, but
Chiefs, Patriots, because at the start of the year when we looked at the schedule, obviously the Chargers are going to be taken off of that list because of the way they look right now. But the other one, you don't know what you're getting based on Sunday night, is Atlanta. You don't know which Atlanta is going to show up. The team where Matt Ryan actually hits receivers in stride when they're open instead of overthrowing them and takes advantage of all the weapons he has, or the team that sputters and tries to get the ball to the other team as quickly as possible and gives the opponent opportunities. I've seen Matt Ryan at NRG where when he gets flustered and he gets pressured, he gets rid of it with happy feet and he throws it to the opponent a lot. So I give him the opportunity to win that game, whereas at the start of the year I thought, well, Atlanta might be a Super Bowl-type team, but they don't look exactly like they're clicking on all cylinders either.
No, they've got the weapons. They just got to put it all together. I did something stupid last night. I'm not the smartest guy on the show, and I'm not the smartest guy in general.
Nick, are you recording this?
When it comes to some things, like for example, my awareness sometimes is just whatever, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Last night, I'm watching the football game and it was boring, especially after Trevor Siemian went out. I was like, oh, this really sucks now. I definitely don't want to watch this game. I'll flip over, see what the Astros are doing. They're on AT&T SportsNet. I'm like, oh, sweet, got a game going here. Yordan's at the plate. He grounds out, and I'm like, oh, man, that's the second time I've seen him loaf to first base this year, and I don't like it. This is starting to become a trend. It was a replay.
Of which game?
The Mariners no-hitter game.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea until – so I watched that at bat. Yordan loafs to first base, and I'm like, well, this is the second time this year I've seen him do this on damn near the exact same type of play, and it's unacceptable. And then I go back to watching football. And then I come back and I was like, why is Aaron Sanchez out there? I was like, oh, I'm a dumbass.
Got it.
That's not even. Oh.
So Nick, you need to go back and get all the audio to start this off, that he's not the smartest guy on the show. And for all the other things that he said that were accurate, we need to make sure.
Just replay it over and over and over again.
Over and over again. That would be very helpful. Every time he tries to make a point where he's adamant about it.
You guys are welcome.
Yeah. I watched the football game, too, and I was like, first of all, just from the matchup itself, I wasn't looking forward to
it. Intrigued by it?
Not at all.
But Joel, these primetime matchups
are the
end.
You go. Okay. But here's the thing. Exactly what we said yesterday. I said if the Browns take care of business, if they do what they're supposed to do, and they look like that they've got it back on track, now people can get back to saying that they're a good team. If they don't, and or it's a close game like a la Texans-Jacksonville, then people are going to start to really jump off the bandwagon in a hurry and go, yep, nope, that's not. They look pretty good. You know what? I'm not going to say I'm an OBJ fan, but last night what he did in that environment and the touchdown that he had, good for him.
That one-handed catch he made early on was ridiculous.
That was crazy.
That unbelievable. I mean, I'm not an OBJ fan by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, his antics are still what they are. Mm-hmm. But you cannot deny this skill set that he has on the field as being one of the best, and not just receivers, but at making catches that most people don't make. There's maybe three or four guys in the league that make that catch, and he's one of them.
I'll say this.
Unbelievable one-handed catch down the sideline. And don't sleep on the dime that Baker dropped in there. No,
exactly
either.
Right. And that's where I was going with the fact that their offense was clicking. Landry made some big catches. Chubb made some good runs. They showed what they could potentially do offensively. But he stuck to football because I thought after the one-handed catch, the ideal thing to do was to pop up and look at his watch.
Mm-hmm.
Show you what time it is.
He wasn't as D-bag. He wasn't much as big as a D-bag as he normally is, I felt like.
I think that he knew that, you know, this was a chance for him to kind of make sure that his parting of the ways with New York was all about love from his standpoint, and also kind of make the statement, look, I still would like to have been here. It was the team that moved on from me. And he handled that, like I said, Barry said he's not a fan. I'm not a fan of his antics, but I do have to give him credit for being one of the top five or six receivers in the game with hands like that and the ability to have speed like he did in that
top
touchdown.
Top two or three.
Yeah, he's up there with, you know, D-Hop and Julio Jones. And I don't know that
Antonio Brown.
I don't know if Brown's still there based on everything else. But
I think he is. I mean, the off-the-field stuff is different, but I think on the field, you saw what he could do with New England, and that's on, you know, a short week of practices and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that those four – The four guys that I think of immediately when I think of the best receivers in the NFL, and in no particular order, are D-Hop, OBJ, Antonio Brown, and Julio Jones. And then we can have discussions about other guys for sure.
Sure, yep.
But, yeah, he's definitely in that type of class. I was underwhelmed by the Browns, and I wanted to see a good showing from them. But I felt like, first of all, you've got to give a ton of credit to that New York defense.
Oh, no doubt.
That Jets defense is stout.
Yep.
And
that's without Quentin Williams.
Yeah, that Jets defense, I felt bad because I'm like, boy, if they don't suffer, if Darnold doesn't, you know, kiss the wrong girl and get mono, and then, you know, with Trevor Siemian getting hurt, I just felt like, man, if they could get any kind of offensive production, and how the hell Le'Veon Bell got 61 yards?
Wow, he played his
that was amazing.
Behind off.
He really did.
But not 61, 68 yards, but whatever. But how... If they had any kind of offense, this Jets team might be a little scary for folks.
Sure.
If they get any kind of offensive production down the stretch, that defense, I think it's a lot better than maybe they're getting even credit for.
And I say Quentin Williams because he was the latest inactive. But when you look at the injuries that this defense has suffered, as much as it was about Greg Williams and OBJ and their past and everything else, and sure, Greg Williams looked like he had egg on his face because OBJ got the long touchdown. But the bottom line was, give Greg Williams a hell of a lot of credit as a coordinator because that defense was ready to play. He's got weapons. They're only going to get better if they can just somehow stay above water, and that's going to be the really tough thing because Simeon's injury was ugly. It's now a torn ligament. He's done for the year, so now they're going to be on a quarterback search. But if they could just somehow stay, avoid the Patriots, which they have them on the schedule,
twice.
Until Darnold comes back, but I'm talking about in the next couple of weeks, they definitely have a defense that can play.
Yeah. No, they have the Patriots next.
That's what I'm saying. In the next couple weeks, I think twice in the next
you
4 weeks
avoid
or 5 weeks.
The Patriots.
I said if they could just avoid.
Oh, if they didn't have to play them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got the Eagles and Cowboys in between. Not looking good for
the
Jets.
No, that's not great.
Well, neither are the Browns. I mean, if you look at the Browns, I mean, I liked what they did against the Jets. There was things to like for sure. But you look at their schedule, I mean, they got the Ravens, they got the Rams, they've got the next five games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Patriots. They got the Seahawks.
Yeah.
It's a put up or shut up time for the Browns,
yeah,
no doubt.
100%. I mean, you talk to me in 5 weeks and tell me. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe in the Browns. I like a lot. Like, I like what Myles Garrett did. I like the fact that they can utilize Jarvis Landry, not only as a receiver, but as a returner. I mean, obviously, OBJ is an awesome addition. Baker Mayfield had some accuracy issues, but for the most part, I feel like he played okay. I mean, there's things to like, but now you're going up.
I think
up,
Myles Garrett is the microcosm of the whole team, though, because I think that you saw with the sacks he got last night, how dominant he can be. But you also saw with the foolish mistakes with roughing the passer and the penalties on offsides that they're kind of still a work in progress because they're not exactly as organized as they should be.
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed with Baker Mayfield, if I'm being honest. If you take away that one 89-yard touchdown throw to OBJ, I mean, he had less than 250 yards passing, and with all of his weapons out there, I feel like this is a Browns team that has been underwhelming after the first two games and maybe was overhyped a little bit. Now, if they gel, if they get some more, you know, playing time under their belts, that might change, but a little underwhelming for me right now. I feel like they should have blown the doors off the Jets, and I know 23-3 is seems like a lot, but it seemed a lot closer the whole game, and maybe that's just me. I don't know. But, hey, if you wanted to bet on the game, you could absolutely do that at MyBookie, and if you didn't, well, there's always next week, and it's coming up fast. So go log on right now to MyBookie.ag and get registered and get ready to bet, win, and get paid, because that is the motto of MyBookie, and that's exactly what happens. And MyBookie has odds on every game out there, more prop bets than any sports book, and absolutely nobody pays you faster. You get your cash when you want it. And did you know you can bet on games after kickoff or parlay your picks, score a huge profit on a small wager? All that's possible at MyBookie. And don't bet with no-name sports book. I don't want you out there risking it. If you're going to bet this football season, bet smart, bet with MyBookie, and bet with the best. That's MyBookie.ag. And if you sign up today, MyBookie's going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money. You use that however you want and betting on your teams and having a good time with it. And all you got to do is put in promo code radio when you register, and you'll get that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on your drive wherever you may be on this Tuesday in Houston. Rain is coming, as you people have...
What do you mean, you people?
...successfully texted us, tweeted us, and let us know. It's now a tropical storm in the Gulf. Winds up to 40 miles an hour. Hope you got flood insurance, just in case. And if you don't, it's too late.
Gotta
I found that out
insurance.
The hard way.
Got to have flood insurance because you have to wait 30 days.
Yes, exactly.
And you
right.
get it. So
that's why it's too late.
Yep.
I would suggest you follow SportsMap and Steven Uzek, who's always there to give you the latest on what's going on so that you're up to speed, because we know that not everybody's on top of their Doppler quite the way Steve is.
No,
so.
He's definitely doing his Doppel.
Yes.
He gets his Doppel on.
Little Uzi flirts with the Doppler Uzi flirts with the Doppler on a regular. He'll give you the
Uzi,
411.
Lil Uzi flirt, huh?
Lil. Should we just go Uzi?
Big Uzi.
Big Uzi Steve.
See, you ain't right.
Okay.
So, you ain't right at all.
So here's the thing, fellas. So we were talking about the short term of this Texans roster, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the fact that, hey, they got some guys that as they get acclimated to the system and fit in better and better, like Tunsil, like Stills, that this team is going to be a better team in the short term. The problem is that you've now had two defensive backs that have been put up on the trade market, at least exploring the trade market, as Jalen Ramsey asked for a trade last night, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right, fine.
But we mentioned yesterday that Minkah Fitzpatrick, the former high draft pick in the first round of the Miami Dolphins, was told that he could go out and seek a trade. And by the time the boring football game was half over, they were announcing on air that Fitzpatrick was going to the Steelers for a future first.
For a split second, I saw Fitzpatrick, and I didn't see the position. I thought, the Dolphins just traded Ryan Fitzpatrick to the Steelers?
And actually, it would have made sense with Roethlisberger going out if you were looking for a short-term
and
pick.
And if you're looking to tank.
Yeah.
I mean, although some would suggest that keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick would be the best way to tank.
True.
But
the Lumberjack quarterback was not involved in the proceedings. It was indeed Minkah Fitzpatrick going to bolster a Steelers defense that's young and good and got younger and better with the addition of Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins, of course, is still just a hot mess. But when you look at it from a Texans perspective, everybody was losing their mind about, hey, you got to make a trade and you got to explore Fitzpatrick. And if you don't explore Fitzpatrick, then you got to look at Jalen Ramsey. Well, the bottom line is, everybody's asking price, as you saw with Pittsburgh, was starting with a first-round pick. Since you gave up next year and the year after's first rounds to Miami in the Stills and Tunsil deal, you don't have a whole lot to work with.
Nope. That's the – yeah, this is a team that's not going to make a lot of moves in the trade department because you – I don't want to say.
Don't go ahead and say it. It's just me and you.
You shot your load when you went out and got Laramie Tunsil.
Okay.
And by that, I mean like back in the day when they would load a musket and then shoot it.
Sure.
And the load would be shot. And that was a musket reference. But you know, you have nothing left to go out and get a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick. It's not going to happen. Or Jalen Ramsey. And I tweeted as much.
You did.
You're not. Just stop. Like, unless you're going to try to trade a J.J. Watt or something like that, it's not happening. And the asking price, somebody's saying, oh, we'll just send Lonnie Johnson in a second and get Jalen Ramsey. And I was like, there's no way you're sending a second round pick and Lonnie Johnson for Jalen Ramsey. The Jags are never, ever, 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 ever going to do that.
No, and here's the other thing. I mean, when you think about it, I was going to say, sure, you're right. And there's a lot to be said about Bill O'Brien's giving up way too much for the moves he's made, even though short term it's made him better, a la Duke Johnson, a la the trade with Miami. But here's the other thing that we again have to come, it has to be brought up and factor into the equation. You had a disgruntled defensive end slash linebacker that wanted out, that felt like he wasn't going to get paid. The Texans basically said as much, that they weren't going to pay him and give him the deal. But you basically gave him away for the third round pick you lost in the Duke Johnson trade, as opposed to either seeing what's out there with him and maybe you at least get the Jaguars to entertain conversation, because we got a disgruntled guy that wants more money, that wants out. You got a disgruntled guy. Normally, interdivisional trades just don't happen, right? But at least it opens dialogue or says, hey, I've got another piece. I got another chip that could help somebody that maybe helps me too, instead of just getting what they got and going, yeah, we washed our hands of it. Now we don't have to deal with it anymore. But really, what did you get for the former first overall pick in a draft that has been better than average at best? I mean, at worst, if you want to, if you want to critique him.
Yeah, and that's the other point about not having or getting a guy like Jalen Ramsey in the division. The Jags aren't trading him to the Colts, the Titans, or the Texans. It's just not going to happen. Unless they offered, hey, here's 5 number one picks. Then they'd be like, go.
Yeah.
Get out
of
here.
Now you're Daryl Morian. Now I'm in.
Yeah, but I just don't think that that's – they're going to look at, number one, the offer, and number two, where are they going? I mean, and if it's going to a division rival and you got to face him twice a year for the next 6 years, you're not doing that. I mean, you're
although,
just –
although, and like I said, on the flip side, if you're the Jags, the only reason why you entertain the conversation is because I'm getting in return a guy that could be doing the same thing, that could get back at the Texans. So you say, okay, let's if you would have been able, if you had kept Clowney said that would have entertained it.
You can't predict that, though.
But I'm just saying, because I say that to say this, I think they just gave him away. And that in retrospect, too,
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, you could have hung on to him and not pressed the panic button quite so quickly when you already made the Miami move to say that, hey.
Well, they didn't have a choice, though, Joel. He wouldn't sign the contract.
That's all right, but you still keep him here.
He's a free agent.
As the weeks go by, he's losing money.
Yeah, well, but he was willing to do that. But you can't trade a guy that's not under contract.
I get that, right?
So you had no choice.
With every passing week, it's on him to just eat how much money he's going to lose for a year. The Le'Veon Bell type situation.
Right, and some players are like, hey, and I think Clowney even said he's in a position where he'll just wait it out. He's not worried about the money.
I'd have played chicken with him. Because I don't think that he'd have held out for the entire time.
I think
time.
I would have too, but I mean, hindsight's 20/20 at this point. He had the leverage and he won.
Yeah, it's just a shame now because you have no assets in the cupboard. It's really bare in terms of whether you push the panic button or not. You're a better team, but if you want to get over the top and get that last piece, it's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, it is. But you got your left tackle.
Yes,
you know you got. You got depth at the receiver position, and I got to be the first to admit I wasn't real high on Kenny Stills, but he is showing up and showing out. Mm-hmm. He looked really good thus far. So if he's your third, that's a good receiving core, because I think he'll eventually take over as the three for this team ahead of QT. But they did. I mean, I feel like we don't give them enough credit for going out and addressing the need of the left tackle with the Dolphins, but getting Laramie Tunsil, but. It hindsight's 20/20 in the Clowney thing, but he won. I mean, he had the leverage. He forced their hand.
And I think, I was writing an article for Sports Map that's going to come out here in the next couple hours, I think. But basically, my point is, it's not that they didn't get the players that were going to make them better, that were going to help. It's that they paid too much. And Chris Greer, who's taking a lot of heat now down in Miami as the general manager because of the moves he's made, and are they tanking, and now they're giving away all their top picks of years past, he talks about, in specifics, the Tunsil deal when he was going to tell Tunsil that he was traded.
How are you giving up on two of your last four first-round picks?
Once I give it up, with Laramie, that was when we got a phone call. They kept pursuing us multiple times. We talked and kept telling them no and what it would take, and they came and offered it. And funny story I was saying the other day was called Laramie about the trade, and Laramie walked in my office and saw it on the board and goes, "I would trade me for that." So, but seriously, we were not trying to do it. And then with Minka, it's just one of those things.
So there you have it. I mean, he didn't elaborate with Minka.
Just one of those things. We're not tanking, guys. It's just one of those things. We've got this really good player, and we're just going to.
But I'm saying from a Texans perspective, obviously they were pursuing Tunsil, but that they just kept calling him and trying to up the ante until it was an offer that they couldn't refuse. And even Tunsil saw it on the board and was like, "Yeah, I'd take that too."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my only thought process was too, if you're the Texans and you sense that maybe they're willing to just kind of talk about anybody, could you talk about Fitzpatrick as part of that deal? Because if you work Minka Fitzpatrick in, now the two ones and the two and a couple extra players, I'm good with.
Yeah, that was
as opposed to feeling everybody in the league looking at him going, "Boy, well, you got fleeced. You gave up way too much."
Well, I mean, we're going to find out if it was worth it, right?
I guess you're right.
If Deshaun Watson stays healthy because Laramie Tunsil earns it, then it was worth it.
No doubt. You know, I think Nick's got things that he wants to talk about.
I
got to
tell you about Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, and I've been telling you about this place for a couple of weeks now. 2502 Gulf Freeway in League City, right there on 45, right there next to that Best Buy. And let me tell you, some of the most beautiful waitresses there that you will ever see serving you some of the best food in the city. A made-from-scratch kitchen. They brought over some food a couple weeks ago, some of the girls over there at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, and we had quesadillas, we had wings, we had chicken Alfredo, which is only served on Wednesdays. So for those of you who want to join the Tight End Sports Bar and Grill spot on Chicken Alfredo Day, tomorrow is the day to do it. 2502 Gulf Freeway in League City, some of the most beautiful women serving you some of the best food, cold beer, full bar, lingerie night on Fridays, each and every Friday. They'll have a DJ, they'll have some of the most beautiful women in the city serving you beer and food. And not just any bar food, nothing frozen. Like I said, a made-from-scratch kitchen. And they always have different promotions. Tuesdays is the Tito's Tuesdays, where you get some of the best deals for those of you who are big Tito's fans on that liquor. Wednesday, they have Chicken Alfredo. Friday, they got a live DJ. And they also have lingerie night. They'll also be doing a car wash on the 21st. All proceeds go to charity. Have your car wash, donate. Have some of the fun, enjoy some of the games, screens wall to wall all over, a really, really big spot. So very comfortable area for you if you want to enjoy some sports and enjoy some good food and enjoy some cold beer. So Tight End Sports Bar and Grill, 2502 Gold Freeway, lingerie night Friday, Chicken Alfredo on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. Don't miss it. It's your only opportunity.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It's a Tuesday, which means at some point we'll rack our brains on the Wayback Wednesday for tomorrow. But
I already got it.
Let's just stay positive for the time being.
Okay.
And you can keep that under wraps while Brother Bear gives you 18 suggestions.
No, he's muted.
Oh, I wouldn't admit that.
I haven't seen that.
So we were talking about
the
Texans.
He asked too many questions on Twitter.
And it's all fine and dandy, and it's fun for everybody to dream.
But the pipe dream of Jalen Ramsey coming to the Texans is probably not even worth Texans fans getting all hot and bothered
it's
over. Because as you said, in interdivision, the fact that they don't have enough resources. But the fact of the matter is he's going to probably end up going somewhere. They have a Thursday night game this week, so I don't know if he'll end up being traded this week. But based on what we saw, which happened at NRG on Sunday, and then the aftermath because of the fact that he got into it with his head coach, that he knew that Marone came back at him a couple times and it was ugly. He left without commenting. Marone obviously did try to downplay it. He did not downplay it today. Last night when he said he wanted to trade, and then today when he addressed the media.
And for however long I'm going to be here, I'm going to continue giving my all out there. All I care about is winning, man. Everybody know that. I want to fucking win. Straight up. And I excuse my language, but shit, everybody know that. That's who I am. That's that passion, that fire, that heart, that's what y'all love. You feel me? And I'm going to continue giving that as long as I'm here. I want all my dogs to go out there and ball. I want to ball with them on Thursday. You know if I'm still here. And, yeah, man, I'm in a real good space right now. I'm at peace. Last week I came in here real positive. I'm still on that, man.
So here's the deal. When you look at the Jags, in my estimation, with Nick Foles, with a defense that was looked to be better than average, obviously they've suffered a lot of injuries. But this was a team that was a consideration for playoffs, a consideration for a wild card at the very least, that had a lot of aspirations that are probably now dashed based on the fact that you lose Foles. I don't think that this is going to get as bad as the Miami situation. But Jacksonville could very well be a team that starts to shed salary and starts to plan for the future and realizes, look, this guy backed the Brinks truck up during training camp. That's how he arrived. And he was basically making the statement, show me the money and pay me or I'm out. So if you're going to lose him, you'd rather not lose him for nothing. You'd rather get something for him. And with the market right now, you know you're getting, just based on what Fitzpatrick got, you're going to get at least a first. But because of his proven talent, probably get more.
It'll be interesting to see. Do they just get picks, or do they get a player in return? Possibly a quarterback, or no? It's not. Don't even put that out there.
All of these people already run rampant with it, so I'm just having fun.
Get people out there thinking that way. There's some teams that I was looking at. Like where would he be a good fit? Like who? One of the teams that came to mind right away that can always use secondary help seems like it's the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I could see him being a fit there. I don't know if, you know.
So USA Today and For the Win came out with their top five.
Eagles on that list?
Yes. Pardon the pun, the usual suspects, but it's the usual suspects amongst contenders. It's the Saints, the Packers, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and
Raiders?
The Patriots.
Raiders secondary is just garbage.
But they're basically saying all the contenders want him, and they don't think that the Raiders are a contender.
Well,
but I can
don't
see
tell
that,
John
you know
Gruden that.
Cowboys had a little they've suffered some injuries too, where the Cowboys would be in that discussion, I would think, as well. But I would say those are your top six. You know, look, if I'm Green Bay and it's going to take a first.
Who'd you list again? Because I'm looking at it, I'm thinking Chiefs and Eagles.
Chiefs,
are probably
Eagles,
the
Packers,
top two.
Patriots, Saints.
Patriots, I mean, you just.
I think they're just the fun. I mean, they're the logical name to throw into any of these deals because they're trying to get
like
maximum
the Yankees
value.
In baseball, yeah, whenever there's discussions price. Of trade and free agency.
Right.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. Packers, I didn't think of, but I mean, I was trying to look at secondary wise who's given up the most yards. Packers defense has been good.
No, their
this
defense
year.
Is really good, but that's
so
why
do they need
it.
Secondary
because,
help?
Because Mike Pettine's defense. He loves one lockdown corner that he can really just leave on an island so that he can do a lot of other things with stunts and blitzes and things. Jair Alexander is getting there. He's not there yet. And a move like this, if they gave up a first and another piece or two like that, that could be the difference between this team having a better than average defense and one of the top defenses in the league, which when Aaron Rodgers is on the other side still trying to figure out the offense, you'd feel pretty good about as opposed to, hey, the defense is overachieving right now, and they've played well.
Game one was probably an aberration.
It was ugly, but at the same time, they did what they were supposed to do.
Sure.
Game two against a Minnesota team that has a talented
good
running back and lots of good receivers.
A couple of really good receivers, yeah.
they're showing that they've got a better than average defense. This is the kind of move that shows, hey, as opposed to years past with other general managers like Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst and his staff is saying, you know what, Aaron, we're going to go for it for you. We're going to bring in every resource we possibly can to make this team better. He would certainly help.
That secondary held Thielen and Diggs to 125 yards combined.
And I'll tell you this, and if you didn't see the game, the one pass that Fine Diggs caught me. For a touchdown for 49, Jair Alexander was trying to catch it for a pick in the end zone. Instead, all he had to do was knock it down, and the Packers were in a great situation. Instead, he gave up six because he spent too much time trying to catch it, and it slipped through his hands, and Diggs caught it. So, yeah, take 49 yards off that total, too, to realize they got a really good defense this year.
Well,
I mean, New England I don't see. The Saints I see because Eli Apple can be a liability, as the Giants found out when they drafted him, and he's up and down. I could see the Saints doing it if Drew Brees was healthy. Because he's not, I don't see him doing it.
Yeah.
The logical choice that Ian Rappaport and others are saying out there is the Chiefs are in complete go-for-it mode, and their defense is obviously where they need help.
Yep.
And if you take the Honey Badger at safety and then you add a Jalen Ramsey on the corner, your defense, no matter what, automatically gets better.
That's a much better defense. Yeah. And if you can get any kind of pressure up front.
Right.
But their secondary has needed some help.
Yeah.
And to me, they were the number one target. Eagles would be number two. I didn't really think about the Packers because I felt like their defense is good enough this year. And outside of that, I mean, I don't look at the Patriots just because their defense has been really good. And they just made the big splash with Antonio Brown. And, you know, and of course, Jalen Ramsey is a bit of a headache. And do you really want to add a Jalen Ramsey to a Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown on the same team?
Good point.
That might be a locker room.
You might be screwing up an otherwise really good situation.
It might explode over there.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, nah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
If Philly, and you look at Philly and say, look.
Casey and then Philly are my top two that I targets.
Because the Saints, they're just out because Drew Brees is out. So they don't even know what they're going to have when he comes back. So they'll wait. So we'll see. Okay, so Jalen Ramsey is out there. Texans fans, I'm sorry to have to damper all this enthusiasm. Fitzpatrick's already gone. Ramsey's going somewhere else. And it's time to start thinking about onto this week's game, because that's all that you really can do, because you don't have enough in the cupboard to make a trade that you're looking at.
Oh, Hefe just tagged us on a tweet where Albert Breer said that the asking price for Jalen Ramsey per rival clubs is 2 first-round picks. That's the starting point.
Wow. Well, that's, and then you got to pay
pricey.
Then you got to pay him, too. Yep. It'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs do pull off that kind of move, then they're definitely all in. And you know that they're serious because their offense is great. Their defense is where they have issues.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right, we don't have issues. We're going to keep rolling forward. We got hour number one, 3-hour show. Plenty of time for you to join if you'd like. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. Hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny, right here on ESPN 975.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Wrapping up hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We've basically covered news of the day and then some, and given you some insight and our opinions as we roll through hour number one.
Chris Garcia had a question for you and me. He said, the line for that Pats-Jets game is 22.5. Would you, if you're the, do you think the Patriots will cover, was his question.
I mean, you know, I heard, and Nick was there, but I heard R.J. Bell really unload on Fred about, you know, how much is too much when Fred asked the question about the Dolphins, and yet they covered with 43. The bigger thing to me is at
Dolphins
least the Jets have a defense.
Yeah,
the Jets have a defense, but Simeon's done for the year with a torn ligament.
Yep.
They're starting a rookie quarterback. I don't care who you bring in this week. They're not going to pick up. It's going to be a very cookie-cutter, white-bread offense.
Yep.
Well,
but I mean, that it's probably going to feature a lot of ball control, and if they can have
smart.
Any kind of success with Le'Veon Bell running the ball, then that's going to lower the chances of the Patriots
what is
scoring
it now?
A little bit. 22.5.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't usually do my picks and everything until the middle of the week.
Yeah, and you don't know based on what they're going to try and do. But you're right. They're going to do ball control. They're going to rely on their defense to kind of eat up clock and slow down the Pats. But, boy, I don't know. If
three
the Browns
touchdowns
can put
is a
up
lot.
20.
I remember a guy that we used to have on the Sunday show named Willie B. would come in and say, if you get a double-digit division dog, that was his thing. He'd go, double-digit division dog. And then he would blow a train whistle, be all, whoo, whoo. So that's one of the things, if you're just looking from a gambling perspective, double-digit division dogs, according to Wooly B, the great Wooly B, mm-hmm. is one of those things where you take that dog. 22.5 would certainly qualify as a double-digit division dog in this case.
Right.
I actually think I don't normally do all my numbers until that wasn't me. Don't look at me. I don't normally do them until the end. But I went ahead and did this one, and my pick this week is going to be taking the Jets and the points at 22.5.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens the rest of the week. But
I mean, I've gone 9-7 and 10-6 the last 2 weeks in picks, so take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on.
I miss almost as many as I get. I mean, 10-6 isn't bad for a week if you pick all 10 games against the spread, or all 16 games.
Where's the game
against
played?
The spread? It's in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's the only – that doesn't help the Jets' case. No. But, I mean, I just think when you get up to that many points, it's always worth looking at. I did try and sway a friend of mine that's from New York out of betting on his Jets just getting 7 last night, and he was adamant that he had a great weekend, he was hot, and he was going to stay that way, and I didn't want to tell him I told him so this morning, but yeah. I kind of did. So.
Yeah, I took Cleveland and gave
the
points.
Yeah, I did too. So we'll keep an eye on that, but yeah, I would stay away from
it right
now. Of
course, last week I took the Dolphins at 19, and we'll see what that
saw how that worked out for you. So. Yeah. We were talking in the first segment about you saying the Texans, quote-unquote,
Blew their load. Like a musket.
In the trade with the Dolphins.
Yes.
Now, friend of the show suspect, L.U. Dillon, is on hold, and he would like to discuss.
Okay. Dillon, what's up?
Hey, guys. L.U. Dillon here. It's first time, long time. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the show. I'm a big supporter of the show. And, Barry, I couldn't help but here earlier you were speaking about the Texans, you know, your words, quote unquote, figuratively speaking, of shooting their load, and actually that got me thinking about Nick, and I needed to bring up a point that Nicholas brought up yesterday about my height when we met the other day, and it was great to meet you guys, Joseph. I wish I would have been able to meet you, but I did have a prior engagement. But, I mean, we are aware that Nick, when he's not wearing his high heels, is, you know, about eye level with me, right? Like, there's not a great drastic difference there. I just wanted to call you guys' attention to that. What might have stirred young Nicholas up to have such an ire for a ardent supporter of the show? Mm.
Appreciate Nick, the call, Dylan. Nick, you've got some explaining to do.
Yeah. I tower him. Like, I literally tower him. I look clearly above
his
head.
Bald spot.
With or without my high heels, sir.
You're talking like the movie poster for Twins?
I don't understand what the saying that I used in the first segment had to do with that, though.
I think he was shooting his shot at Nick, maybe.
Oh, gross.
I thought it was a compliment. I called him a swole version of Palillo. I thought that was a compliment.
A swole version of Palillo.
Yeah. It's a compliment.
With or without the Skechers?
I mean, whatever is less offensive to L.U. Dillon.
Oh, stop.
Whatever is less offensive, sir.
I didn't expect the call to go that way.
I thought
he
was going to go at you.
Yeah, I really thought so, too. I thought it was just going to be a really awful joke, and then I was just going to berate him until we went to break.
But because the joke was directed at me.
Yeah, no, whatever.
It was cool.
That's good job. Good call, L.U. Dillon. Very good call. It was a great call. It was spot on point. I will say this, and Dylan's great, and he
came to the show, Russ Bar and Grill.
He did send me a Facebook friend request, and I think most people know by now don't send me friend requests on Facebook. It's nothing personal. The only social media that I keep to strictly family and friends is Facebook. That's it. Because I talk about personal things on there that I wouldn't want other people knowing. So there are a few listeners that have got through the cracks that I need to go and clean up. But for the most part, I keep my Facebook
very much to friends and family only. So I don't take it personal. Dylan, you know I love you, buddy, but I'm just, yeah, I'm a no on that.
I think we've had this discussion in the past. I'm the same way. My Facebook is just strictly for friends and family. And then the gram and the
Which is also
Twitter.
Why we're not friends on Facebook.
Exactly right. Because I wouldn't want Barry to
No, I wouldn't. You know. I don't, we don't need to see.
Yeah, so that's fine.
I don't need to see another picture of your dogs.
Okay.
I'd like to see a picture
of one of them like biting you or something like that. That would be enjoyable to me. So, but that other than
you can't
that,
tell that pit bull what to do.
Well, I can bring tell him what to do. I can't day. Guarantee he's going to listen.
By the way, I think yeah, exactly. Sick 'em boy. That's why I'll never go to Joel's
house. Sick 'em boy. He's trained to sick balls.
Oh,
okay.
Tennis wow. balls. Tennis okay. balls. Nick. Oh, tennis balls.
You made me touch them there just to make sure they were Jeez. Still there.
All right.
I think I had a breakthrough with Nora last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I was
you guys sleeping in the same bed again?
Well, we were talking about animals because, you know, we lost both cats yeah, now. Yeah. So it's just the two of us in the house, and it feels kind of weird because for the last 20 years, there's been an animal in the house, and there's nothing. And so, you know, we were talking, and I was like, well, maybe when we get a new kitty for you, you know, just testing the waters. And she just kind of smiled and didn't say no. So I was like, oh, okay. And now I waited a little while longer and went, and when we get the kitty, we'll go ahead and get the dog so that they can grow up together. Nothing.
I was going to say, that's when she probably like, shut it down.
I'm working on it, though. I'm working on it. The goal is not this year. I need to give her time. I got to have time, too. I miss my kitties, man. They were like our children, you know, mm-hmm. 20 years. But next year is the year of the Doberman for me.
The oldest trick in the book, bro.
What?
You just bring somebody
Ask during
else's.
Sex.
That's no, because you're not going to get the job done, sir.
What? Are you saying I wouldn't have time to get the question now?
I think he's saying you're not going to have sex.
Hey, babe, I'll ask tomorrow.
I'm just saying bring. I'm just saying bring pet like puppies.
Yeah,
bring puppies, dude. She won't say no to that. Just bring somebody else's puppy.
Bro, my fat ass would bring hush puppies. What are you talking about?
I'm gonna tell you something. I'll tell you this right now. You know, the easiest way to do this.
Bring the dog to the house.
Use the Lisa philosophy, right? All you gotta do is the Lisa philosophy has worked several times with this, which is why we have so many dogs. But she will definitely do exactly what Nick said.
Yeah,
she will
work.
Just be
I'm
like, "Babe, I got a surprise. I'm coming home right now." I'm like, "Oh, sweet!" And then like I see her walking up the driveway, and the next thing you know, she's opening the door and out jumps this.
Yeah. How do you not know when she says, "Babe, I have a surprise"? I'd be like, "Don't come home."
Or like,
it's another dog. No.
I'll meet you
at the 7-Eleven where
the
we're going
to
leave
that
it.
I take the dogs to go chase the tennis ball,
yeah.
right? She never goes there because it could be muddy and it could be everything. And I'm in the middle of the field throwing the balls, and I look back to the opening of the park, and here comes Lisa in her work clothes, in heels. And I'm like, what is she doing? First, I'm looking at what she's doing. Then I realize she has a chihuahua in her hand.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, the only reason you are doing this right now is because you're trying to get the wow factor.
I'm telling you should do this.
It'll totally work.
There is only one type of dog not worth rescuing, and that's a chihuahua. So I would be like, no, you just leave that in this field.
I'll tell you what,
let a hawk or an owl come by and handle this for us.
I'm going to
scoop it up.
I was going to bring some of the dogs in so that Barry could.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. But if I brought our long-haired chihuahua in,
I will probably kick it.
No, you would not, because it does not yap and it does not bark. And it's
if you think you're going to convince me to love a chihuahua, you are out of your mind.
I said the same thing.
Yeah,
no damn way.
I said the same
dog
thing.
Dog won me over, because the dog's got personality and the dog's smart. So
then gross. I got me a wannabe chihuahua, and I absolutely loved it.
A chihuahua.
A chorky.
No, whatever.
Oh, my God. Enough. Is that what? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not. It's break time.
Tell me a break. L.U. Dylan just took a shot at me.
Yeah,
tell
that's
me a break,
true.
Bro.
All right. Well, hour number one just ended.
Oh, wow.
We've got 2 hours still to go on the show. So if you want to join the discussion, we've got plenty more to get to. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we'll bring it to the table. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, where you can call and text. Always hit us on Twitter. And we'll be back with the second hour in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.